Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
I'm worried that Bill Belichick just isn't fit to coach college kids, and UNC should consider cutting ties with Bill Belichick.
I would presume that this is as close to out of control as it will get, but I think we could always be surprised because I think Bill is combustible now.
I might actually reach out to him and make sure everything's good, but I am concerned from what I'm hearing. Yeah, it's not a good look right now. I'll admit that.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Good afternoon and welcome into WEEI Afternoons, broadcasting live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios. Brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series. Hurry in to get employee pricing on the full lineup of vehicles. Ford. From America, for America. You know who else is for America? Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Big fan, long time big fan.
I'm not sure that guy's the big fan that everybody wants to hear from America. Andy Hart here alongside Dan Ball.
Hi, fellas.
Ted Johnson doing the athlete dad thing at a college lacrosse game today.
Wait, Ted's not in at three?
Ted's not in at three or four or five or six today. He is cheering on, and if he's anything like me, yelling at some lacrosse officials who pick and choose the rules and the whistles and when to blow them, because the only thing that blows more than the whistles is, you know,
the refs.
Did you get yourself in trouble recently?
Recently, not recently, all the time, same old, but it's not about me. It's about who won the week. It's about success, Fitzy. Boston sports, we've been doing this a long time, Fitzy and I, weekend shows. Now we're doing it in the afternoon, and we start off with a very simple question. Who won the week in Boston sports? A lot of opportunities, a lot of options this week. And you heard the nice little lead-in that Stiz put together, so I'll kick things off here.
Go ahead.
I think there's a lot of options within the world of the Belichick thing that went on this week with CBS Sunday Morning all through the week. And
what happened to Belichick?
Release. You might have heard of it. He did a bad interview, and his girlfriend was involved, and then he did a press release that was worse than the interview, and then his employers got involved, and then CBS News PR got involved. It didn't go well.
We're not talking about that,
but we kind of are, because I think I could pick one of the people I said earlier in the week that could be listening right now in the greater Boston area, Bears Nigerian, Bill Belichick's right-hand man, I think in a weird way won the week, because everybody's like, wow, this didn't happen for 25 years when Bears was the guy behind the scenes and in the background.
Bears. I was not expecting you to go Bears for the winner of the week.
Not the winner of the week.
Oh.
I think you could say Tom Brady could be the winner of the week, because he continues to look and be like, It didn't go great for Robert after I left him. It didn't go great for Bill after I left him. I'm not great at the TV thing, but my scandals, yeah, I was loosely related to crypto and there's some other things out there, but for the most part, I'm staying out of the news and just keeping my relationships on the back burner, not the front cameras of network TV. So Tom Brady, Bears, all options. But to me, it's really... Oh, also, talk radio. I'd put us in there because...
Big dub, major up, a lot of content this week.
You made our show's pretty easy this week. You made callers' shows pretty easy this week, even if they didn't always nail the jokes or land the planes on their connective stories to Bill Belichick. But for me, it's simple. It's the Belichick haters, the Belichick critics. No, I'm not talking about Ted Johnson. You may have heard his voice not only here, but also on like Fox News or wherever else it went viral.
The
New York
by the way, two things. Number one, Ted, long time, first time, big fan, listening to the show. Right now, using the Odyssey app, and you too could download the Odyssey app today, Dan Ball, AUDACY, and listen to any of the Odyssey content, especially WEEI, the podcast, Andy, like hashtag dork, six rings and football, things and more. He's listening, and he said, you nailed it with your take as to who won the week. Anyone associated with Bill that isn't Bill.
So you just look at this, and if you had an axe to grind, not saying people have axes to grind, or people thought Bill was a fraud, a hypocrite, didn't like him, karma's a bitch, it'll come back around on you, you bully, you controlled everybody forever. If you're one of those people, hell, my neighbor, when I was pulling out the driveway today, was like, yeah, I kind of feel bad for him. No, I don't. He was always kind of an a-hole. Screw him. He's getting what he deserved. If you hate or want to criticize Bill Belichick, you won the week because just the fruit is like, you actually have to bend down to get the fruit. It's hanging so low for you to grab.
And you know why, first of all, the other nugget I forgot was Ted in the graphic that went micro-viral on Fox News. WWEI is where they attributed it to. Funny, that's our affiliate in Springfield,
yeah,
which I will be driving right by later tonight. And of course, Springfield, kind enough to host the Greg Hill Roadshow this morning with Wiggy and Greg and Curtis and everybody out there. So it looks like they had a grand old time. Yeah, and as far as the Belichick thing, man, boy, he made a lot of people except himself a lot of money this week.
Oh, yeah.
He really, really,
including Jordan, really, because I'm sure the value of her properties only increased.
Up to like $9 million now. I mean, she's basically angling for like, do you think the end game for her is a reality show?
Gotta be.
Yeah.
I think the end game.
Some kind of influencer type life that she's going to be
just wealth.
To glean from this.
Yeah, I think
just wealth and notoriety.
One could lead to the other. I mean, she's gaining quite a following out of this.
I'm not sure she wants or needs a... The more we know about her, isn't it safe to say the less we like of her?
Well, yeah, but how many reality stars does that fit?
I mean, she needs somebody... She needs to get with somebody who really knows how to package it.
Her age? Sure. I mean...
What are we doing?
The previous guy, by the way, there was a
two
photo,
consenting adults.
ML Football, who's one of the more prolific aggregators on the X platform, put out that photo yesterday of her and her previous
The old guy.
He was in his mid to late 60s.
Yeah.
He vouched for the idea, Dan Ball, wise beyond her years.
Yeah, because he can't say she's an idiot. He dated her. Like, he needs to make her seem normal, rational, cool. There has to be a reason why he dated her.
I mean, she's
wait, how
I
old?
I do dated.
Yeah, how old, by the way? Because if Snakes on a
20.
If Snakes on a Plane Part 2 took place between Belichick and Jordan.
Only one snake.
Okay. Then, well, it might be two snakes. So what is that? When did they date? Like, when did she
before
date the 64-year-old?
Or maybe that was the end. Maybe she upgraded and she was like, you know, you trade your phone and you're with your current phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to Verizon and say, I want a new phone. So that, like, at that very moment, you switch hands and change phones. Maybe she switched hands and changed boyfriends.
I want, you know.
I didn't mean that the way it sounded. Pause.
Nope. No, you didn't. I want one that folds. I want one that has emoji AI.
Yeah.
I want one that has six Super Bowls. Whatever.
Right. So she upgraded, and now we're talking about her. But the real winner here is anyone who wanted to criticize Bill. And if you noted, we've been talking about this, sadly, in a weird way, but also in an enjoyable way, for months. And the pushback a few months ago was much greater. We would get angry texts. Oh, you wouldn't go out with a hot young girl if you could? Or they're
two
adults.
He's living his best life. Why don't you hate his shut up?
How many of those we get this week?
Not many.
Not many at all. And the text line was still there, 617-779-7937. If you have that feeling, share it with us. But we didn't get a lot of those. You know why? Not a lot of people feel that anymore because it gets worse and worse by the minute. It's a train wreck and they need to go dark. So if you like beating up on Bill Belichick, which we haven't had a lot of opportunities to do over the years,
Even nope. even when he got the UNC job, it was still, well, he's salvaging something from his career. Him and Mike Lombardi were certainly taking the high road, dancing on the grave they thought the NFL was at this point.
And now everybody in league circles, if you're the Falcons, if you're the Patriots, if you're Kraft, if you're Blank, if you're whoever.
You also won the week.
If you're NFL Films and you're like, whew, glad that Hard Knocks thing fell apart. That would have been a train
wreck. Now, see, I find the fact that she was instrumental in NFL Films and the Hard Knocks production pulling out of UNC to be more damning than her behavior on the set of CBS Sunday Morning. People that act like publicists, there was a little veracity to what Edelman was saying vis-a-vis, you know, sometimes they have fits or they interject themselves. I've seen it happen before.
They wear yoga
pants. We're not doing this. We're not talking about. Sometimes they dress fancy. Sometimes they schlub it up. But regardless, they do that. What they don't do, like Jenny Belichick mentioned on Instagram, is they don't walk off set for long periods of time, basically directing all the focus at themselves. So we can see where a lot of this is going, or rather what the color of her character is. But the fact that she was so instrumental in Hard Knocks saying, like, you know, actually on second thought, we got this high school team in Altoona, Pennsylvania we're going to focus on. We're going to do a high school edition this year.
One of those Texas teams that had multiple guys drafted last
year. We'll do Everett. You know, doesn't Everett have like a bunch of kids in the NFL now?
Yeah, it's kind of faded.
Right?
It's kind of faded since your coach went to wherever he's at, Catholic Memorial.
Right. Okay. But you know what I mean? Like there would be a lot of other places where there'd be less drama and less grief than dealing with Jordan on the campus of Chapel Hill.
So we all win this week, but Fitzy, who's your winner of the week in Boston sports?
So many options, so many candidates, but one who actually arrived a little bit late to receive his award for winner of the week in Boston sports. About 30, 31 minutes late. Fresh cut, killer hoodie, $1 million smile, the hero of Patriots Nation, and hopefully the savior of Foxborough to come. Drake May is the winner of the week, but not for anything he did. Drake May is the winner of the week because now, the next time that he stands under center for the New England Patriots, be it at the home opener or wherever they happen to start their season in 2025, when he looks around him, he's going to see fast receivers. He's going to see a competent offensive line. He's going to see maybe the fastest running back in the NFL behind him, who is also tremendous in pass protection. People are going to keep him upright. People are going to open up holes for the running back. People are going to block and open up holes for him on designed runs or when he has to escape and run for his life, which shouldn't be as frequent as last season. Now people might actually catch the ball. And when they catch the ball, they might actually advance it to the end zone or at least for a first down. Hopefully more often the end zone this year. They'll be in games. They'll win games. His value will go up. People will love him even more. Doubters like Ted Johnson will stop saying, like, I don't think he's really a franchise quarterback, bro. Like, we're going to think he's a franchise quarterback. More so, he's going to be the most popular guy in all of Boston sports by the end of 2025, thanks to the draft your New England Patriots had. So congratulations, Draco, Drake 10, Draco Malfoy. You, sir, Mr. May, are the winner of the week in Boston sports.
I mean, was there any box on offense over the last... I mean, the week in the draft is one thing, but just this entire offseason that didn't get checked around that quarterback?
He's literally got a guy who said, I will die on this field for you, bro.
And because my arms are short, you might get killed too, because I can't stop that guy.
So when I reach up to thank you for all the time you put in, I won't be able to shake your hand or nothing.
Or when he tries to pick him up after the sack, he's going to bend over real far to get his arm down low enough to
straight. Man.
I'm just kidding. Anyway,
do you, by the way, buy into the internet conspiracy theory that the Patriots trolled the media by drafting the tackle that had the longest arms?
No.
The sixth-round kid out of Missouri.
We also didn't get into when they went into a minor, the Drake illusion, and then deleted it on their socials.
The cornerback minor.
Yeah, the Mr. Irrelevant, the last guy minor. And
they didn't want to, because it was a Kendrick Lamar thing. And they didn't,
well, then don't post it.
But you know, everyone that has a social media handle or access to a company's, you know, what do they call admin? Anyone who's playing the role of admin for their company always wants to be the next most clever person on the internet.
Or be like Bill Belichick drafting Mac Jones. Be like, you good with this? You good with this? We all good with this? Hey, Fitzy, you good with this? And then hit post so that when it goes bad, you can say, whoa, whoa, whoa. We were all good with this. We're all going down with this ship. I'm not taking this. So
we all checked in on this one.
Just to sort of quantify the week that you had for your guy, Drake May, I did find it interesting you said nothing that he did won him the week. I loved that.
He didn't have to do a damn thing to win
the story of his
week.
Life. He's got one win, and he's the greatest quarterback in the history of the world.
But I think that's where guys like Ted, by the way, and some of the people that may have voted in your poll as to whether or not he is a franchise quarterback or not, get their ground to stand on. It's like he still has a win.
And that is the poll I want to talk about because Ted Johnson's listening on his Odyssey app, and I posted it yesterday at Jumbo Hart on Twitter, at WEEI Afternoons. Patriots fans, what is your confidence level that Drake May is indeed an NFL franchise QB? He definitely is. Won the poll.
Okay, so 63%.
They're not that excited. 52%, but it's a majority.
Still.
46%. Hope he is, and only 2% don't believe he is a franchise quarterback. But I do think when you go into a season coming off what he did, which is, if we're being frank, was a whole lot of nothing, like made a few highlight reel plays, but threw interceptions at some of the worst times, made dumb mistakes at some of the worst times, things he's already talked about having
right,
to clean up.
With the talent of Massasoit Community College on the field.
It's always somebody else's fault. That's how it always is with guys like him. Mm. I love how he does that. So he succeeds on the backs of others and fails on the backs of others. So he's not a franchise quarterback because that's the exact opposite of what a franchise QB is. A franchise QB I watched for 20 plus years, he shows up and you give him chicken bleep and he makes chicken salad. You give him chicken salad and he makes you a gourmet meal and you're like, how did you get filet mignon out of chicken
salad? I got to say, though, he made those cruddy Swanson TV dinners that were served up last season look pretty appetizing at times. Or at least in preparation of the meal, you were like, ooh, I think this is going to be good.
So appetizing, they picked fourth overall.
So appetizing. Oh, no, I've dropped the scalding hot food on my lap again.
So appetizing.
He won that one game on his own, though.
Well, actually, the good news is, had he played in the finale, they probably would have picked number one overall because they wouldn't have won because they don't win when he's on the field. Joe Milton is the one who screwed that up.
Do you believe this? He's turned on his savior.
I haven't.
Wait till next year when he's just talking about what a chump Will
Campbell
is.
It's called balance. It's called balance, which is needed sometimes.
Nope.
So, Ted Johnson, that was your poll. 52% of Patriots fans definitely believe Drake May is indeed a franchise QB. So, Dan Ball.
Yeah.
You are stepping up to the plate here for Ted Johnson.
I am.
Who won the week in the eyes of the Ball Man?
I am bridging the gap between both of you, and I am going right to the top of the Patriots ladder and saying Robert Kraft.
Oh.
Because
really? Suck up.
I think you have professional and personal.
If I see you take my job on the Jumbotron, I'll come for the knees first.
That's daniel.ball@odyssey.com. If the
bookings are accepted.
That's right, and welcome. I think you have the professional and the personal where you have to love the week that just the Kraft family and the top of the Patriots ladder had. Personally, the Belichick stuff, a vindication that few have experienced with the way that things have just gone haywire. And I think professionally, your hire of Mike Vrabel, your trust in keeping Elliott Wolf despite bringing in other members to the front office, and the way that the franchise operated, looking competent at a level in the draft that we haven't seen in years, I think all of that reflects positively on the decisions that the organization made. I think it's been a great week for him.
So what?
No horn for that?
Why? Yeah.
He's
such a homer. What?
Thank you. It's okay, an honor and a privilege to be a homer.
Well,
today.
Well done. I appreciate you steering in my lane. Actually, it's so wide, there's plenty of room. It's like a double HOV. So welcome, Dan.
Happy to stay.
I wonder why now did Robert, what took it so long for Robert Kraft to have such a good week, do we wonder? And I will also point out, Robert Kraft had a great week by he himself really not doing much in the past 7 to 10 days. Oh, yeah. And also, as we've begged him to do for a long time, say less, fam.
Yeah.
Just let the adults you've hired, let the proper people do the speaking and the talking for you, and he ends up one of the winners of the week.
Better the world think you a fool than you open your mouth and prove it, and Bill may have gone out there and proved it this week where Robert kept the mouth shut. Just let Elliott Wolf and Mike Vrabel do some good things for
his
football team.
What's it been like?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't get that out of my mind. What's it been like? You know, the whole world, there's Jordan over there. The whole world's talking about your relationship.
But it's one of his crutches. He's done that for years on questions he doesn't want to ask. He repeats it with that weird snarky, like, you asked a dumbass question. It's not a dumbass question.
Speaking from experience?
Does that make you?
Oh,
that,
absolutely.
That makes
I've seen it hundreds of, not just me.
Yeah.
But being within, you know, shrapnel distance of the reporter that is getting that response.
That kind of makes me Hulk hands angry when people do that.
Well, yeah. This is the guy you, you know, bowed down to for 20 years. He did all these same things. He just won.
Right.
That was the difference. He won. And guess what? This will be put to bed, and Ted will be proven a loser and a clown if Bill goes out there and goes...
Save that line right there, Stiz.
No, but in all seriousness, if he goes out there and goes 10-1 or I don't even know how many games they play, and they're a top four team in the college football playoff, all of this will be forgotten. He will get the last laugh. Highly unlikely.
Then he'll say, like, I orchestrated all of that to get eyes on UNC only so I could truck y'all MFers.
I really think all of it's forgiven if that happens.
I've been living
at the level that he has been degraded down to as a professional.
Absolutely.
32 teams in the NFL passed.
Literally looking
he does
like,
well at the collegiate level, and all is forgiven.
Yeah.
In the interview, he literally looks like...
Do you not pay attention to sports? We are simpletons.
Well, yeah.
Winning solves all everything.
Winning solves every... It's what... The one smart thing Gerard Mayo said all last year was, we just need to
get
a win. We just need to get a win. And then ironically, the worst time they could get a win, they got a win at the in the season finale.
I remember. I was there. Right. Yeah.
Winning covers everything. Alex Cora has talked about it in that very microphone you're standing by, joking about... Oh, great clubhouses when we win. And he's like, some of those clubhouses were, well, I'm not going to share the stories, but they weren't great clubhouses. They looked like great clubhouses because you won. It's the same thing with every sport, every individual.
Wait.
Manny wasn't a dink until he was going down the road of not being Manny anymore.
It was, right.
Manny being Manny was awesome. He threw the guy to the ground, should have got him his damn tickets in time, and he wouldn't
have to throw it down.
But that happened
in 2008, the year he wanted out in the first place. So wait, hold on. By that same logic, may I deduce... Were the 1986 Mets, was that a great clubhouse? Because by all accounts, that was the craziest assortment.
How about the Cowboys? The team that snorts together, wins together.
And also the same guy who wrote a book about both, Jeff Pearlman.
So I just, Bill can last laugh. I think it's highly unlikely, because when he goes out there and just goes 6-5 or whatever and beats up the bad teams in the beginning and then gets to the ACC better teams and and loses those, then this will all be recirculating.
He
can't be Mac Brown.
In the interview, the more you think about it, that curious choice to try to prove, like, you know, oh, I'm such a football guy. Like, look at me. I'm wearing, like, this vet shirt, sweatshirt of my dad's.
What's it been like?
Oh, my God. Can't handle that.
So bad.
But, like, he literally showed up, Andy. Like, I'm sure you've seen a bunch of them since you're a boatsman, if you will. And I spending time on the cod. You know, like when you hire a guy to like get the boat ready for the season or like, hey, you having some problems? Call Finkel. He's great. He's always available. He'll come over. He'll fix that drain. He'll paint your house. He'll do that thing in the driveway. And they show up in like the ruddy pants with paint stains and like the sweatshirt. That's Belichick literally looked like the local handyman on Nantucket in that interview.
And it didn't work for him, did it?
It was really
forced.
Did.
It was so forced and it was obvious.
That's a good point, Stiz. He should have just showed up wearing a shirt that says, this is not a forced attempt to go viral.
617-779-7937. If you want to react to our winners of the week, a reminder, I think it's anyone who hates or wanted to criticize Bill Belichick. Fitzy said it is Drake May. Dan Ball says Robert Kraft, by no actions of his own, won the week as everything that went on around him made him look a little bit better, painted him in a better light. Coming up next, though, we need to talk about something that's not a winner of the week, or a team, some individuals, a manager. The Boston Red Sox are stumbling and scuffling. The bullpen is not Fitzy's favorite part of the team anymore, I don't think. Whitlock and Slayton.
My two guys, my law firm, Whitlock and Slayton.
Yeah, they might want to look into law degrees because their pitching in the bullpen hasn't exactly worked out against a Blue Jays team that wasn't exactly killing the ball before it faced the Red Sox bullpen. Talking Red Sox failures and strikeouts. I know I beat the horse dead, but the strikeouts for this lineup are the key between wins and losses. We'll tell you about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, double dipping today, double duty. Tell me what's trending.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period.
That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
3-2. Here it is. Drive into left field, way back. Refsnutter looks up. Adios. Three-run homer for Guerrero. Another total bullpen meltdown in Toronto. And it is 4-2 Blue Jays.
That was an angry and disappointed Will Fleming on WEEI last night.
You now have your answer. What's Will Fleming going to sound like in response to how much you, quote, loved when Castiglione put the emotion of the game in his voice?
Swing and a pop.
Will Fleming sounded like he wanted to be like, son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's emotionally invested in this ball club, as we all are, but he travels with them, and I would say he errs on the side of optimism. He often tells you, you know, these things work themselves out, or,
does
you know.
Does one err or by the way?
Swing and a pop-up.
Err.
Err?
Yeah.
Okay.
Err she goes. I don't know. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines before we get into that debacle of a loss. Day two debacle of a loss for the Red Sox up in Toronto.
Yes.
The exchange rate on wins and losses is not favoring the Red Sox against the Blue Jays.
It is not.
Right now.
By the way,
shake your head at me.
And before you
can't say it the way I said yesterday because I'd probably get in trouble.
Yeah, you sure?
Don't shake your head at me.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's err on the side of caution and go to the calls in a second. But I just want to make one point about hearing that highlight again is that it's double damning in that A, your bullpen blew it again, which sucks, and two, Toronto, who now seems to have your number, even though they're not as good as you, or so the records indicate, and B, it had to be again. The guy that all of us wanted the Red Sox to trade the rest of the farm for to get and sign to a 14-year deal, and instead we have the left-handed swinging bizarro corpse of Casas, but here's Vlad Guerrero just burning us again.
Along those lines, quick alarming side story. Listen to my favorite show coming in, Jones and Keith, and they were doing their four-pack, four questions, whatever they call it, and one of them was best Red Sox player right now. And there was a little bit of a debate. You know what was alarming about it?
What?
Nobody brought up Devers, your $300 million player, in the debate. The debate was between Crochet, Bregman, Duran, when he's at his best, you could argue. And I was like, anybody going to say Devers? He makes $300. Devers. We're going to put Devers in there.
That's not new, though, right?
I feel it sucks.
He's never unequivocally been the best player on the Boston Red Sox.
But he's not the best hitter right now. He's not the best anything except best contract. No. He has the best contract on the team.
But haven't you
from his perspective.
Haven't you seen it on the TV broadcast? He found his nice little spot at the end of the dugout where he holds his bat and waits for his at-bat. So everything's fine now.
That's great. Yeah. No.
Not good.
No. You know, the only time Rafi Devers was the most popular member of the Red Sox was the tail end of 2021 as they were making the playoffs. And I think it was the second to last game of the season, and he had a game-winning home run. I forget against who it was. Like, he came through in the clutch for, like, a week.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's a good power hitter, but has never carried the team or validated that salary. Anyway, back to the calls.
617-779-7937. If you suck up, you get on the air. So, Walt in Hanover, what are your thoughts on our opening segment here on WEEI Afternoons?
I will suck up, no problem. I'm driving home, and I usually listen to Felger and Maz, but there's a game on that channel. And I just want to say how enjoyable listening to you guys talk the last 20 or 30 minutes. I loved your humor. Didn't have a lot of cynicism, and it really shows that you guys enjoy each other's company. And, you know, I say kudos. And is this your regular time slot?
It is. 2 to 6 every day. Please listen. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
See you, Walt.
Bye.
Okay, thank you, Walt.
Oh, boy.
Man, Andy, he does not know you very well.
Yeah.
Didn't hear the cynicism after the first segment.
There was no cynicism.
You know what it is?
Andy just doesn't know you very well. He's going to get to know you and know he's wrong.
But he's got three things going for him right now. One, the sun is out.
Sure.
B, we're at Fenway, which means he's standing up and he's happy about that. And C, he's not overly hopped up on energy right now.
And I have shorts on and a visor. There's like more layers to this optimism and happiness and energy that I bring. I also tend to just bring energy. It's just funneling it in a positive direction can be challenging at times. 617-779-7937.
Thank you, Walt.
Back to the phone calls. Alex in Raleigh. What's up, Alex?
Yeah, not much. I'm not going to pretend to be a long-time listener. The YouTube algorithm brought me here. But I'm a Clemson alumni living in Raleigh. And, of course, you know, what's going on with Chapelville? Mr. Do Your Job on to Cincinnati needs a handhold? I mean, what's going on? Who is this man that you sent to us? North Carolina sends you Drake May, and this is what they get as a thank you?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, this is absolutely absurd.
All right, thanks for the call, Alex. Thanks for the algorithm.
What's it like?
Sending... Well, see, I was going to tell a bad joke. I call it a Fitzy joke sometimes.
See, now, again, you just, man. I mean, if it was a horrible joke, it would be a your joke. But
so he is doing his job. Mm-hmm. That's actually Jordan's nickname.
What is?
Job.
Oh, you should really, actually, there's a lot of Fenway. You could take a lap.
So
Ball and I can take it to 42. It's fine.
Do appreciate the phone calls. It's going to be it's the topic that I keep saying. Everybody claims, I don't want to listen to you talk about that. Bill's not here anymore. But before I go, I think it's ridiculous. Like, everybody pretends they don't want to talk about it and then has a one-minute opinion they want to share.
Bill Belichick has done it again.
Hey, Stiz, why don't you tell everybody the little gift that I gave you when I popped into the studio before zipping over here for today's remote show from our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studio.
I love it. Nick pops in the studio. I am hard at work slaving over audio to get ready for today's show.
You mean you are just working vigorously?
That's right, vigorously. And he gave me this awesome koozie that says Bill effing Belichick with a sticker to go along with it. Might even make it to the laptop. That's what I'm thinking.
Wow.
As I know,
wait a minute. Time out. On Monday, you said, quote, I got nothing. That's what you said. You got nothing to defend Bill Belichick. Now, 4 days later, and I felt this on Wednesday, you were softening your stance.
The pivot.
You were now you're back on board? Are you going to now call customer service from that weird website you ordered the footy pajamas from and see if that's ever coming?
Everyone has a bad day. My Lord and Savior, Bill Belichick, is allowed a bad day.
Stiz will be
the
first.
He's on year four of bad.
No. Stiz is going to be the first to give him a breakfast ball or a mulligan and say, you know, in this particular scramble, we may just not be using a lot of Bill's drives. That's
and
okay.
I think Jordan won the week, to be honest.
How did she win the week exactly?
Oh, my God. Do you know how many,
everyone knows
you know
her
how
name?
Many followers? Like, Dan was kind of speaking on it.
Okay.
You know how many followers she probably amassed through all this? So whether good or bad.
You know how many people
bad,
accused her of being a professional?
Oh, that'll
and
come and go.
I don't mean PR person.
Andy, have you met social media? That will be forgotten. And you know what
that'll
will
never
not,
be forgotten.
No, you know what will not be forgotten is all these
she's
followers
got the
she's
scarlet
amassed.
Something on
and
her.
And millions of dollars of real estate.
She is always going to have the real estate. That's the one thing that she'll always have to fall back on.
Typically, they say if you want to invest, you either invest in gold or land because neither of them ever really depreciate.
Land.
Unless, of course, you're in Southwest Florida. But I did want to also add to the equation as far as the whole Jordan thing goes, yes, everyone does know her name now. And yes, she is amassing quite a following as well. But I think what happened this past week, just to sort of put it in historical context, she may have just led Bill Belichick to having his, and this fall I'm going to be taking my talents to South Beach moment.
Oh, there's no doubt that he's won in North Carolina unless he wins.
This is the decision for Bill Belichick. If he's anything less than 8-4, it might be like, all right, that was... fun.
We got a little notoriety out of that.
That's
as
what
much
I was going to ask.
Have.
If it was a 500 season, Andy.
If it's a 500
Twins
season,
fans.
I think he's out. I think he's absolutely out if it's a 500 season this year.
Sorry, I just had to yell.
So I think that's 6-6 or whatever. Yeah, I think he would be out. I'm not. My
then
biggest.
To Steve.
And then Steve takes over and his ungrateful daughter-in-law who's ripping him all over social medias.
She's a fine mother and a good woman.
She is. No, she's also right. Forget all
also,
that.
She's also right.
She's right with her tone, and she's right with her angle about Jordan.
I think she spoke up on without official confirmation. I think Jenny B spoke up on behalf of all people's Belichick, not me, Bill.
Oh yeah. Now I also wonder, was that an Andy Hart three Miller Lights deep response?
She just had a baby. She's nursing.
Oh, she might have been doing pump and dump. No, that's a thing. That's what mothers
do.
I've had kids. Well, I haven't had them.
Yeah, my wife had them too, Dodo.
617-779-7937.
And I haven't had kids. No S.
Oh, just in today's day and age, you just got to...
I'm very worried about you with what you're saying.
Tim and Brockton, you're up next. You're on WEEI Afternoons. What are your thoughts on Drake May?
What's it been like?
So Drake May, all those people that you listed before, the running back, the O-line, the wide receivers, you guys would be making up excuses as why to Drake May is performing bad, and you will be using those people in those positions to blame it instead of blaming it on Drake May's mediocre style, and his ceiling is Trevor Lawrence, and Patriot fans want to live off of hope, and you guys need to realize
out of our mother's basement
QB.
Yeah. All right, thanks for the call, Tim.
Appreciate that.
Okay, so the Trevor Lawrence comp is interesting. Because what if Trevor Lawrence goes out, leads the Jags to, 12 wins this year with Travis Hunter and Brian Thomas, and they look like...
Yeah, he might...
He's got a franchise contract.
If his offensive line holds up, because his offensive line was horrendous last year, and we know something about horrendous offensive line play. If his offensive line holds up and he doesn't get his ankle crashed in half and have his face smushed in a viral photo that would make anybody wince at the prospect of playing professional football, then maybe, just maybe, he'll hold himself upright. He does have a playoff win, unlike your boy Justin Herbert. Maybe, just maybe, Trev, BTJ, Travis Hunter go off the season, Etienne et al., and they have themselves, maybe they go 8-9, but he throws 33 touchdowns and 9 picks and 4,500 yards. Who says no to that?
I feel like that also illustrates your difference that was brought up by the caller about your starting quarterback versus your franchise quarterback. You talked about making chicken salad out of you-know-what. Trevor Lawrence has had enough pieces around him now this offseason where, all right, he'll be a starting quarterback. He should be able to operate the offense. Mm-hmm. And what we're still waiting for is, well, can Drake May be more than that?
Well, I also think the question is, and hopefully we get into this debate with Drake May in the next 2 years-ish,
with him personally.
Is Justin Herbert a franchise quarterback?
Yes.
And if he is, then what do you call Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, those guys? Because they're clearly on a different level than Justin Herbert.
Those are all-time franchise quarterbacks. Those are Hall of Fame.
No.
That would be Tom Brady.
Right now, Josh Allen and
Mr. Zero
Joe
Rings?
Burrow.
Sorry,
are you going to argue that you? I can't imagine you'd argue against the wind and the sun. That's fine.
No, I'm just saying, said all time franchise quarterback.
Meaning like they're going to go to the Hall of Fame. Dan Marino is in the Hall of Fame. He has zero rings, aside from whatever ones that he wears under his isotoner gloves.
Sure.
Josh Allen is on his way to the Hall of Fame. He keeps playing. Yeah, they're Hall of
Famers. Hall of Famers. Well, that is where you hope Drake May trends toward. Not just he's a top 12 quarterback, which makes you a franchise quarterback, but is he a top 5 quarterback, top 6, somewhere up into that conversation? Because right now we have 3, right? I'm not forgetting it. Oh, no, Lamar, you got 4, right?
Oh, Lamar, yeah.
So we go 4.
Why don't we call these guys the breakthrough club? We have Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. All of them need to break through to achieve Hall of Fame, like permanent Hall of Fame status, but also end their franchises' respective, shall we say, not just losing streaks, but suffering. And also to the Drake May point, have you ever heard of a test called the AIQ test for quarterbacks?
No.
A processing test that they now administer.
Oh, I've heard some of those. Yeah.
Matching colors and patterns.
But some of those have mixed reviews. Because famously that they started using across the league, CJ Spiller bombed and then went out and had, CJ Stroud bombed and then went out and had one of the best rookie years in the history of the NFL. And they were like, hey, probably throw that test out that he didn't do well on, because he seemed to do well on the franchise QB test as a rookie.
Because supposedly Drake May scored as high as you can possibly score on that sort of processing.
Of course he did.
Well, doesn't that make sense, though? If he's an elite processor, doesn't that make sense?
Stiz and Dan Ball, I need you guys to get me. We need an audible eye roll.
An audible
eye roll
versus what I just do but behind the glass.
Yeah, but we need to share it with our listeners, an audible eye roll, because that's what I did when Fitzy just said Drake May had the highest score that anyone's ever had on that test.
If you were championing...
So no one good is actually taking
If you were championing this... Everybody talks about his elite processing. I feel like a narrative starts to get out there and you're like, wait, I didn't start that narrative. I better start pushing back so I can be right.
I hate when the narrative in the train gets way ahead of reality. When you're little Max and the sled is way up there and you're like, uh-oh, I better catch up to the sled.
I got you. But at the same time, wouldn't you say that his processing probably is the attribute over his physicality and his like athleticism?
I don't really know because I don't know exactly what people mean by processing. When he processed enough to throw to the Bears linebacker instead of out of bounds when he's supposed to put it in the tuber player.
And that was terrible trying to make processing. Too many, that was too, like, yes.
So that's part of processing is deciding, right. Pull the trigger. That's processing.
But finding the open trigger read, in four times. Guessing the tendencies of the deep, of the defensive
Some of it was good, some of it was bad. So I don't know that it was the greatest I've ever seen out of a young quarterback, never mind the greatest I've ever seen about any quarterback. 617-779-7937. Up next, we're paying off that tease. Strikeouts are the key to winning and losing for the Boston Red Sox, and I'm not talking about the bullpen. I'm talking about the lineup. Give you some eye-opening numbers on strikeouts, wins, and losses for the Red Sox up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app, and this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora yesterday afternoon talking about Walker Buehler, who was trending in the right direction on the mound.
I don't want to hear it.
He returned to Boston early while the Red Sox were still in Toronto last night getting some tests. We'll get an update on that story at 3:30 from Lou Merlone, I think, when he joins us here in our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studio. And we will probably hear from Alex Cora a little bit later on, so we'll monitor that for any news updates.
Talking about tests, like, so was Walker Buehler trying to figure out how fast he processes information?
No. He was trying to figure out why his shoulder hurts and doesn't feel so good.
Which one?
Tight.
The pitching one?
I'm pretty sure it's the pitching one. I don't know that he specifically
said it. Could be his non-throwing shoulder.
Well, then I don't think he would have come back early, and I don't think we'd be talking about this. I think it's his pitching shoulder.
The non-throwing shoulder, it's part of the windup.
Yeah, it's all part of your mechanics. They didn't specify. You never know.
Okay, see? So
you
there's hope.
Think whatever you want. Well, there's hope either way. I didn't think that was like the
throwing
sky is
shoulder.
Falling.
Throwing shoulder. If we're talking like, you know, tendonitis, that could be 2 to 4 weeks on the shelf. Maybe because it's just not used to the rigors of what he's putting himself through, considering that he got the snip and his second snip, actually, rather.
So, Fitzy, we know the Red Sox blew good starting pitching outings the last two nights. We know the bullpen, not the blue pen, but yes, that might be more accurate. The blue pen here
that's
in Boston.
That's going to catch on quickly.
Screwed it up. Your boy Slayton was involved. Whitlock was involved. But also, we talked about it yesterday. The offense is kind of getting off scot-free. The offense that went to bed after six innings and was like, I get you guys six. You guys got the rest of the way, right? We're going to go get some drinks early if you
pick
can
up your
out.
Bullpen.
And last night, you score two runs. That's great. It's great that you're up to nothing. But, you know, again, score more. Score more often, please. You're supposed to, I believe, this week, Alex Cora told us here on WEEI Afternoons, yeah, we consider ourselves an offensive ball club. We can score some runs. There's an alarming number that we've been ahead of the curve on all season long, talking about strikeouts. Dan Ball put it into perspective for us. Fitzy, you know how many games the Red Sox have K'd 10 or more times, including each of the last two nights in Toronto when they lost those games, blue leads. You know how many games all year out of the 33 they've played, they've struck out 10 or more times?
I'm going to guess more than half, so I'll go with 19.
Close, 18.
Damn.
You know what their record in those 18 games striking out 10 or more times is?
I'm going to go with one win for every two losses, so 6-12.
How about 5-13?
What the holy ball.
Which if you do some quick math, that means when they strike out less than 10 times, they are 12-3 on the season.
Okay, so now how does this not turn into paramount priority number one?
It is, and I think Alex Cora has talked about it. He has talked about, I don't like strikeouts. There are no good strikeouts, like all these various things. He's also made the comment, it might be part of our identity, and we have to accept some of that. We joked about it. The best case scenario was the first game in Toronto where you struck out five times and you hit five home runs. I don't expect that ratio, but if you're going to strike out 10, 11 times, give me five home runs. Give me that, you know, almost like an interception touchdown ratio. I'll accept one home run for every two strikeouts. I can't have it go the other way where I have 10 strikeouts and only two runs total. A 5-to-1 ratio K's to runs scored. So I think this is something they need to deal with. And some of it is philosophical. You know, I know there's a lot of talk of a guy like Casas who seems to be too picky, seems to always be down like 0-2 because pitchers are like, this guy's really picky, so I'm going to throw strikes. And then he's playing, you know, Chase, and he's not Tony Gwynn or Wade Boggs, and he's not going to hit 330 with two strikes like those guys used to.
Is Casas hitting his weight? He's not even close to hitting his weight.
No. Not unless he's lost a lot of weight recently.
I don't think anxiety.
Food poisoning or something, maybe?
No, I don't think he had the Mookie Betts virus.
Casas is at 184 with a 279 OBP. So sadly, it's better than it was.
You know what I'm going to
do? Oh, it's better, but it's not good.
I am going to make that. Not good. I'm going to tie that into my three-point stance coming up in the 3 o'clock hour because I think it's time to make a change and turn a corner permanently with this team.
Ooh, big market tease from Fitzy. Badass.
That's called a BMT, bro.
I just like that he finally wasn't yay Patriots in his three-point stance. It was like 4 days in a row. We're going to get to another team.
So if I swear at you, everyone on the street as well as everyone in the car can hear it, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, right, I mean, they can drop it. We learned that lesson early in the show yesterday, which is very good for at least one of the hosts on this program.
You put the F in FCC yesterday.
I absolutely did. 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls on Bill Belichick. Who won the week? We'll take your calls on the Boston Red Sox. Their bullpen problem, their strikeout problem in the lineup. But up next, it's 3 o'clock. Ted's not here. He's watching lacrosse off in New York State somewhere. But it's still going to be time for a...
You know where he is? He's in the Capital Region.
Oh,
your favorite.
The Capital Region. Hey-o. Formerly the home of Dan Ball.
Albany. No way.
That means Ted and Dan Ball are the two people that care about the Capital Region.
That's
no
correct.
One else listening.
That's correct.
Will Ted make a beer run for us? Some great breweries in the Capital Region.
I think he might.
I can't text him like a beer bro?
No. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, get 3-point stance.